Blue is right here with DubCNN.com for an exclusive interview. The first question is, why did you call yourself Blue?
I called myself Blue because a chick gave me blue balls in high school, and it was a joke, and all the homies kept calling me Blue, so I just stuck.
So why'd you drop the E?
Because it was cooler. Nah, I stopped doing ecstasy, so I said, I'm going to stop dropping E. I dropped the E. That was corny too. I don't know.
So how long have you been active in the hip-hop scene?
I've been trying to, well, really doing it like for the last 2 to 3 years. I've been performing a lot more so in 21 and over clubs and just festivals and different things and linking up with people. You know what I mean? Getting paid, shit like that.
And coming up on the West Coast, who did you listen to and who would you say were your main influences?
On the West or period?
I mean, period, just, in, you know, in general.
Well, I started off, the first shit that made me want to start rapping was DMX's first album. And then after that, it was like, Common made me, like, really get into Common's One Day It All Makes Sense album. Had me like, oh shit, okay, I wanted to start talking about some shit. And I was like, I got that album way late. I was like in 12th grade when I got that. I was like 2000 or something, right before Blackwater or something. But really what hit me on the West Coast was Planet Asia's first EP. That really fucked it up for me. That's still one of my favorites.
Okay, that's good. That's not the usual N.W.A. Rakim answer that I get.
You know. I got into hip-hop pretty late, man. Like, ninth grade, I started listening to hip-hop for the first time.
All right.
Timberland's first album and Mace and shit. That's like my first shit.
And if you had to put yourself in a category, what type of rapper would you refer to yourself as?
A whack rapper. I don't know, yo. I would be like, the everyday rapper, I feel like I'm just a normal kid who raps, you know what I'm saying? Like all these motherfuckers that rap, yo, like I don't think I'm conscious or like a battle rapper or a gangster rapper. I'm just like a kid that raps.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing that struck me when I first heard your music, like, wow, this dude just talks about whatever, you know, whatever's going on. It sounds easy. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound forced, so it just sounds like you're really talking about what you're actually, you know, going through, experiencing, without trying to come up with off the wall shit. So
that's the real, man. That's where it comes from, just day to day. You know what I mean?
You know, your album with Exile Below the Heavens was critically acclaimed and one of my personal favorite records of last year. How did you originally link up with Exile?
I linked up with Exile through Aloe Black. Aloe Black was working with some producers I knew on their project, and we had a lunch. We all sat down for lunch, and we chopped it up. He told me he heard some stuff, and he wanted me to meet Exile, so he brought Exile to a show. And right after I got off stage, Exile was the first person to walk up to me. He was like, yo, man, I want to get you on my production record, which was Dirty Science. It was like, I got joints with Slum Village and blah, blah, blah. I was like, you don't even got to sell me, man. Your beats is dope, you know? But I didn't know how dope they were until I actually went to his crib and he played me like 100 beats. And I wanted probably like 90 of them. So I was like, yo, man, you got to do my album. And he was like, oh, I'm busy as hell, yo. I'm doing my album. I'm trying to, you know, do this and that. And I was like, damn, man, I'm trying to blaze some shit. So he just like, I'll give you a couple beats, you know, see what you do with them. And once I start cutting songs, man, actually, after the first song we cut together, she said, let's do an album. So, that was Party of Two was the first song we ever cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did the concept for the record you laid out, and how would you describe the recording process of it?
The concept, like, I always had the title since high school, but the concept was a little different. In high school, I was on some fuck mainstream shit, or when I came up with the title, I was on some fuck mainstream shit. So I was like, Below the Heavens is like all the heads underground, for all the underground heads. But as I started working on this record, the title fit due to, it was just life on earth, you know what I'm saying? Striving to get somewhere else, whether it was to the mainstream, whether it was to what people actually thought, think heaven is, or just to a better place day to day, you know what I'm saying? And I just felt like that fit the album that me and X were working on. But when we first linked up, we were like, man, let's just do some shit like Reflection Eternal for the West Coast. And I said, I'm ultra down with that.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because that's actually a record that I would compare it to. So I think that you reach your goal.
Appreciate that.
You know, definitely, because that's pretty much the comparison that I would make if I had to compare it to something.
Yeah, and one of the main inspirations making a record, too, was J. Rue's Wrath of the Math.
Okay.
It was really, like, in my headphones all fucking time while I was writing that album.
Okay. You know, when I recently interviewed Talib Kweli, he mentioned you as the cat that he's feeling the most right now.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he did. It's the first thing he said. He said, oh, that Blue and Exile album.
Damn, that's really dope.
And I believe you hooked up with him for the Hostile Gospel remix?
Yep.
How did that connection happen?
He just, reached out to my management. My management was like, you know, Kweli's trying to get you on this remix. And I was like, I'm down, send the track. He's like, they already did. I was like, okay, I cut the verse. By the next day, sent it back. And within a week, the shit was out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, that's the quickest turnaround I've ever seen, ever. Like, Below the Heavens was done early 2006. Shit came out, like, late 2007. You know what I mean? So when they just dropped the song, like, on some tomorrow type shit, that shit's dope. But, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that must have been pretty crazy to meet the guy that, you know, to hook up with the dude that actually was one of the inspirations
I never
for the
actually,
album.
I just swapped emails with him.
Oh, okay.
I still haven't met Kweli. Like, after I did the song, I actually talked to him on email. I did the song before I even, you know,
anything. See, that's how it is nowadays. I tend to forget about that.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's not the biz, but, like, I would definitely prefer it the other way. But you got to move, you know. Heads got to move. Nigga be, like, in a motherfucking different country. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trying to get you on a song that he trying to put out, like, next week. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep. So now, a year after Below the Heavens, would you change anything to the album if you could?
No, I always said the only thing I would have done that I didn't do was put my boy Cassius King on a record, because he was an important inspiration around that time. But the songs we did didn't make the record, and I was like, man, he should have. There were spots he would have just fit perfect in, but other than that, nah, I love the record.
Okay. What's your current relationship with Exile? Can we expect more work of you two together?
Yeah, we just got off of, we just got back from Vegas, opening up for Joe Buttons. That was a pretty crazy show. And, we've just been talking about, you know, our plans for the next record, like, what type of ideas. We got some pretty dope ideas now. It's like, which one are we going to actually use? And when are we going to actually do this? Because Exile has about 4 projects under his belt right now he's working on, and I have, like, if not more, the same. You know what I mean? So we're both, like, there, and we got a lot of shit on our table, but we still want to do this next record. So it's all going to come around. I mean, me and, like, Johnson Johnson, we're mixing our record right now, but we definitely want to put out the next record. Me and Tarak have ideas for our next record. It's just all going to keep moving in circles. But I'm definitely going to be doing a solo record before all of those.
Okay. All right. So tell us about the new situation over at the new record label.
Well, I don't have a new record label yet. The only last record I signed over was Tress. I signed over Krasnux, and we signed over Johnson & Johnson, which were 2 previously complete records, and they just wanted to license it from our catalog. And so we reissued Crash, and we're putting out Johnson & Johnson in September officially. And that's what Tress is like. You know, they put out Giant Panda, some other groups. It's just an independent out here on the West Coast that we're cool with. They've put out some Tarak 12s in the past. And name just made that happen. Right now, as far as the solo, I am looking for a major label distributor for that record. I don't really want to reveal too much about that record. I want that just to be a big boom.
Okay. You recently dropped a mixtape with Tarok. Tell us about that.
Dropped a what?
A mixtape.
Oh, nah. We dropped it was a tour, like a tour EP, but it was a little longer than an EP. We did probably 11 songs that were on the record, 11 to 12
yeah.
that were on the record. We did in 7 days and just pressed it up for a tour. And a year later, Tress Records wanted to put it out, and we were like, damn, that shit's old, you know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, we're like, let's just put a couple new songs on there. So we threw like some of the new crazy shit we working on, like Buy Me Lunch, Bullet Through Me, and Love Don't. And we were just like, well, let's just put these on there and spice it up, because it's the tip we on now.
Okay.
And we just made it a mesh of, you know, we just found the best way to compile it and present it, because as of April 2008, that's where Crass was, you know what I'm saying? So we wanted it to pretty much represent from where we started to where we are now without having to go in and craft a new album, because the budget wasn't right for a new album.
All right. Yeah, I feel you. I don't know. I got it online somewhere. It was labeled as a mixtape, so you know how that goes.
Nah. Shit goes down online, man. Fucking... I got mixtapes out I didn't even approve of. So when you said mixtape at first, I thought you was talking about one of these cats that did some shit. I was about to do a mixtape, and I look up, and all the joints I'm going to put on the motherfucking mixtape, these motherfuckers got on the mixtape. I'm like, well, how you got a Best of Blue? Some motherfucker called me to do a drop for a mixtape he's doing of me. I'm like, I don't even know who you are. What? You didn't even ask me. What are you talking about? Can I do a drop? I'm not going to do those motherfucking drop.
Yeah, that's how it goes nowadays. They just take that shit and run with it.
That shit is crazy, but it's dope though, man. But yeah, big up to all the DJs that do mixtapes for me. I actually appreciate it.
And tell us about the Day Late and a Dollar Short project that you're working on with was Sene, or what's his name?
No, Sene.
Oh,
funny as hell. I gotta tell him you said that, yo.
Nah, man. You know, we've had him featured on the site a lot, but I haven't actually talked to him, so I've been, you know what I mean?
No, I know. He just did a song, and he said, people call me Sene or Sene, and I said, what? I mean, you never heard nobody ever call you.
You see, I just did. Shit, I didn't know how to pronounce Tarok either, so I...
Rock's name like something stupid. I'd be like, damn, and Crass, and I always get the E on the flyer. I don't be tripping.
You know, so yeah, Sene. Tell us about the project with Sene.
Yeah, well, the project with Sene, he actually just hit me up on AIM or iChat yesterday, and we just finalized the EP, which we're going to release before the full length. But I'm taking a production role in this project, and Sene is handling all the raps. I'll pop in for a verse or so if those songs make it, but or hooks. But mostly, most of it, the vocals are coming from Sene and whoever he features on the project. But I just want to, I was stepping into production. I'm producing a soundtrack right now, and as I was doing that, Koss, my boy Cassius King, and Sene would come through to the crib all the time. Like, yo, man, we feeling the beats, and I didn't really think they were, you know, to whatever, ready to do whatever, but until like Fool started laying really dope songs to him. So I was like, yo, man, Sene, let's craft a project. He was like, I'm down, man. I got like 7 projects. If you go at gusto, like all of us do, we all got a crazy work ethic. So we got about, right now, we're sitting on a cool 20 songs. We're about to present like 8 of them in the next, like within the next couple months, as the first EP, just to get the buzz going and the name out there. So it's dope that you're already up on that shit.
Yeah, you know. So when can we expect that, though? When do you think it'll drop?
2 months for the EP, and I would like the full length to drop by the top of the year. We just want to drop the EP to get the buzz, to get the record picked up, the full length picked up.
All right. Now, another project that's coming out is the Johnson & Johnson project. What's that all about?
Well, Johnson & Johnson... That's for my boy Mainframe. My boy Mainframe was a producer from back in the days. He actually started Sound and Color, the label that put out Below the Heavens.
Yeah.
He signed me there. He started the label when he was 19. Dude's like 26 now, and he's like, this fool's like a young Dame Dash or some shit. His business is pretty savvy. He's linked up with Dilla, signed tracks, you know, albums with Dilla, like J Love Japan and shit like that. He signed a lot of those before Dilla passed, and he's worked with a lot of different cats, but we've done probably 3 records together. Johnson Johnson was the first record, and he had started a second label while we were coming up with putting out Below the Heavens right before, so we wanted to do a mixtape for it. So we created Johnson and Johnson, because we didn't want to do, like, rap over other people's beats and shit. So we're like, fuck it, let's just rap over old songs and shit. like old school shit. And we did it, and fools just started nutting up, like, damn, this shit is, it became its own identity and shit. So we're like, fuck it, let's just put this shit out. Same with the, you know, Crash, like, okay, well, if y'all want it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we always sit on a grip of material, man, but Johnson & Johnson is one of the projects that me and Mainframe have going, and that should be coming out September under Tress.
Okay.
Yep.
So who are you feeling right now on the West Coast?
On the West Coast, my boy Cash is king, definitely. Tarak is from Detroit, but that nigga, a lot of fools is like ill imports. We got a lot of ill imports out here, but like Scene also. But fools from out here that are dope is Pac Division's dope. I like Jay Davey a lot. I think she can wrap circles around a lot of these niggas rapping, but she be singing and shit. And then I like a lot of producers like Flying Lotuses and Sam I Am's, Sam I Am's an import too, though. But, you know, it's some fools though, man. Sa-Ra, I really like Sa-Ra. Or Shafiq from Sa-Ra is really ill on the raps. Like, his solo rap album is going to be pretty huge. Oh, and big up to my man Ganja Sufi, who's actually putting out, like, singing albums under Warp Records, but that fool has bars galore. Bars galore, man. But, yeah, the West Coast is coming back strong, and, it's ill because it's just more than hip hop now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what's making the West Coast movement bigger. It's just like we do so much. Or artists that are coming out like Georgia Ann Mildrow, she raps crazy and produces, but sings ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's an ill fusion out here right now.
Do you listen to any other cats like Bishop Lamont or you know, Crooked Eye and people like that?
Oh, yeah, Crooked Eye has been like, see, I liked Crooked Eye, like, when he first started blazing his freestyles,
yeah. That
was my favorite shit. That's like Graf, like, when Graf first started, well, I know Graf's New York, but when Graf first started coming out, which is a while ago, around time 50 first started dropping motherfucking mixtapes, Graf shit was really crazy. But, yeah, I do feel like big up to Bishop Lamont, a lot of different heads, Self-Scientific, Planet Asia still ill, crazy out here. I like Feel the Agony, you know what I mean? It gets deeper. Alchemist be out here chilling.
I was about to mention him. I was about to say if there are any plans of you hooking up with Alchemist.
Oh, yeah, we linked up, man, definitely through Evidence. We've done a few tracks. We plan on working on some more shit, though. We just vibing out right now, just getting the West Coast movement going. I just linked up with Grouch for the first time and shit, and like Living Legend. So it's like everything's coming together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, we're not rushing it, not sweating the technique.
Okay. I heard you were originally on the hook for the Pacific Division Fat Boys track.
Fat Boys. Yeah, I was. I did like a Slick Rick joint or something. I forgot about that shit. Oh, shit. No, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was because the version I used or I rapped on for their project, I think Quali ended up using that beat or something.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, oh, fuck, we got to flip the beat, some shit like that. So they flipped the beat and, you know, they did the joint. I've done quite a few joints with those fools, though, man. Those fools used to come through to the Johnson Johnson sessions all the time. Yo. Those fools are hella down.
All right.
Cool dudes.
Name one thing that you like about hip hop in 2008 and one thing that you don't like.
In 2008, I like that artists are putting out their own music, and it's not easy to get signed anymore. You got to be about your shit. You got to be on your shit. You know what I mean? If you're not on your shit yourself, you're not about to really get signed. Even though Soulja Boy is whacking all that shit, that motherfucker's 16 years old, promoting the shit out of himself, making his own beats and shit. That's why the motherfuckers get signed and get all these budgets, because of what they're doing themselves nowadays. And I think that's dope. And I think it's dope that their real music is coming back around, and that the West Coast is coming back. I know that was three, but those are three things I like in 08. What I don't like in 08 is that the fools who should be leading the movement are like complaining or mad or angry about everything. And it's, you shouldn't be. You should really open your eyes to what's going on, and it's a lot. It's a lot to find. I mean, it's not like it's a huge abundance of greatness nowadays, and it's not like we are, or this next generation is smashing the old one, or no shit like that, because the generation before us wasn't smashing the generation before them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it goes deeper and deeper when you go all the way into soul. You got all those fools doing soul music was smashing these niggas on the raps. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These niggas rapping. You talking about making music? Come on, man. Niggas' shits was getting smashed out. But like Common said in It's Your World, he said it's hard to stay grounded. What'd he say? Something about smoking. It's hard to stay grounded. That's why old folks down us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel that too, man. Like, niggas, we do be on some other shit, but this our world right now, yo. You know what I'm saying? It's about to go down, man. Next generation, yo. I love it. I love hip hop.
All right, man. I really appreciate the time that you took to talk to us, man. Is any last words that you have for the people out there?
Yeah. Creation is a beautiful thing.